everyone. Welcome to the Halloween podcast. Mid-October.
More or less. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm Dean.
I'm Carrie.
This is going to be a quick little hollow weird bit, as we have now officially named them. This is actually a classic story slash urban legend that I was shocked to find out recently that Carrie didn't know about. So I'm going to tell you about it. So that piqued my interest, and maybe a lot of other people don't know about this. It's an old one. It goes back about a century, actually, when it was first told. But here's the story. Two women, a mother and a daughter, were traveling. They're wealthy. They're traveling in the Near East, which now kind of we call it maybe the Middle East somewhere. I don't know. I think they were in Constantinople, now Istanbul, part of Turkey. And they read, hey, the Paris Exhibition was coming up. This should be about 1900. There was a lot of exhibitions in the 1800s, but the last one prior to when the story was told was the 1900 exhibition, which had some pretty amazing things. It had the first moving sidewalks. It had the first escalator.
In 1900?
1900. Campbell's Soup got a gold medal. Campbell's Soup. Let me say that again. Campbell's Soup.
Campbell's Soup.
Campbell's. Campbell's Soup got a gold medal. I mispronounced it purposely just to really dig it in, clearly, obviously. Give me my Sharpie. So they read about the Paris Exposition. They're going to go back to England, right? But they say, let's just go through Paris on the way back to England. Kind of spur of the moment, right? And we'll see the first part of the expedition, get our way back home. So they take the express, the train across Europe, and they get to Paris kind of late. It's about 9 o'clock at night when they get there. At the Gare de Lyon, their luggage is put outside onto a carriage that would take them to a hotel. And the luggage consisted of two boxes and a large carpet bag that would belong to the mom, and she had been carrying them around for a long time. So the porter took the box and placed it between their two, big luggage boxes. But the guy, he said, that might be something important. The driver said, let me put that between my feet. Sort of made that somewhat memorable. He took it and put the carpet bag between his feet.
Right.
That belonged to the mom. So they get to the hotel. They both sign their name on the register, and they ask for two rooms. If they can, they would like two adjoining rooms. The manager's like, oh, I'm so sorry. We do not have to adjoin your rooms in my terrible, terrible French accent. And he said, look, the best way, we're full up. The exhibition's starting. We're lucky you even have two rooms. So we'll give you, the mom, a room on the third floor, and your daughter can have a room on the fourth floor right above it. But it's the best we can do. They said, okay. So they figure they're really tired. They're going to, they had something to eat on the train, I believe is how the story goes. So The says, okay, well, let's, I don't know why, but they, it was if the daughter was a little bit worried about her mom, but said, I'll check on you in a little while, but I'm going to go rest. You do it too. So they go to their rooms and they go rest. The daughter, she's just exhausted. So her head hits the pillow and she falls asleep. See, I didn't take off her clothes. She just falls sound asleep. It's a good 3 hours or so afterward. It's about midnight now. It must have been past midnight. She decided, okay, I'm going to go check my mom and say goodnight to her like I told her I would. So she goes up into the room. And she must have had a key. I don't know if they give them two keys, but she must have had a key because she just went to her mom's room, number 49, on the third floor, and she let herself in. But there's no one there. Nothing, as a matter of fact, is there. The room is completely empty. No person is there. No luggage. No nothing. Not only that, but the room looks completely different. Different wallpaper, different bed, different bedding, different paintings on the wall.
You mean different from when she first got there with her mom and presumably helped her.
She took her mom, they got the luggage on her, and then she left her mom and said, I'm going to go up and rest in my room for a little bit. I'll be right back. I'll be back in a little bit. Say goodnight. What's the first thing you'd think if you had that? You think, oh my God.
I'm in the wrong room.
I'm in the wrong room. So her first thought is, oh my God, I'm in the wrong room. So she went and she finds a chambermaid and she says, hey, I thought this was my mom's room, number 49. Here's my mom's name. Where is she? And she's like, the chambermaid says, what are you talking about? She says, no. You came here alone 3 hours ago. There was no one with you. There's no older woman with you. I'm sorry, mademoiselle. You must be mistaken.
Oh,
she's just She's freaking out now. She's getting a little agitated. So she says, she demands to speak to the manager. She Karened her. But in this kind of situation, she has every right to. So the manager comes up and he says, I'm sorry, you must be under some kind of delusion, but when you arrived, you were quite alone. But the bewildered girl said, we signed our names in the visitor's book. The porter, he also remembers. So they went and got the visitor's book and they brought it to him. Just her name.
Wow.
No other name. And they had both signed it individually. The porter came who had taken their luggage in. And he said, I took your luggage in. I remember you. There was no one with you. You had no older woman with you. You had no, there's no luggage that belongs to anybody. But here's your suitcase. It's in your room. That's where I took it. But she says, okay, this is getting nuts. How about the cabman? He will for sure remember me. We had the whole deal where he put the carpet bag in between his legs and everything to keep it safe for my mom. That was my mom's carpet bag. He'll certainly remember that. So she described them to the hotel manager. He went and sent somebody out, and they found that cabman, and they brought him all the way back to the hotel, and they had him lay eyes on the woman. And she says, okay, you remember me? I had an older woman with me. We had two trunks, and we had a carpet bag, and you put the carpet bag between your legs. Remember that? It was my mom's. And then you drove us from the Gare de Lyon to this hotel just a few hours ago. The cabman says, mademoiselle, I'm so sorry. No. You were alone. You had one trunk. There was no older woman. There was no second trunk. There was no carpet bag that I put between my legs. I am so sorry. Where's my tip? So she fainted.
Yeah.
It's 1900. She was stressed out.
I would probably faint too. Yeah.
They got her back to her room and they got her to bed. And then they got a nurse to come from one of the local hospitals to come see her. And that nurse escorted her back to England as her mom is nowhere to be seen. No one at the hotel ever saw her mom, ever reported. She came there alone. She thinks she must be going crazy.
Right. That's probably what I would think too.
About 1 to 2 years later, her mom's gone. She's never seen her mom since. 1 or 2 years later, she got a letter. It was written anonymously, but it was supposedly from the chambermaid
who
had first initially made contact when she thought she had walked into the wrong room. And she says, I have a confession. I have to tell you this. I have to unburden myself from this thing that I did to you. It was a terrible, terrible thing that we all did to you. Here's what really happened. It was the chambermaid who, not long, a little while after the daughter went up to her room, the chambermaid came back to the mom's room to check on her and found her deathly ill, sweating, hot to the touch. So she immediately called the manager. The manager came up, saw the state she was in. In some reports, she's even dead already.
Mm-hmm.
Others, she's at death's door. So he sends for a doctor. The doctor gets there as soon as he can to the hotel. And the doctor checks her and says, this is a matter for the authorities. And the doctor telephoned the Department of State in Paris, the government.
What?
Two officials from the Department of State came down and another doctor, and both doctors certified that the woman had died of bubonic plague.
Oh, no.
They assumed it must have been caught in Constantinople, over in the east somewhere. I guess there was still plague. I don't know. It was probably just racism. But
yeah,
they immediately agreed. No one must know. This is the eve of the Paris expedition. We've spent millions and millions of francs on this thing. These things lasted 6 months. They'd been planning it for years.
Yeah.
We cannot jeopardize with any kind of word of a plague outbreak in Paris. We must cover this up. So they set about immediately taking the mom's body away, changing the bedding and the entire look, the wallpaper of the hotel room. They bribed and or threatened the chambermaid and the porter and the cabman, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to stick to the story. There was no mom. There was no woman. There was no bag. There was no anything. She, we're going to have to make this poor young lady believe
she's crazy.
rather than jeopardize the Paris exhibition. the body had been removed before she got there and all that, but they were able to do that before the daughter came down. Thankfully, she slept, had a long nap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were able to make it look completely different and get her to go back to England. The show went on. The Paris exhibition was a tremendous success.
Did anybody else die of bubonic plague?
As far as anyone knows, no one else died from this bubonic plague. But as far as anyone else knows, this never happened. It's been pretty, it's for sure. It was written up by actually a literary commentator in the 1925 or so was first written. And the reason he wrote it up is because this urban legend had given rise to two short stories by prominent French writers, or prominent writers after it supposedly took place, or after it arose. No one quite knows where it arose and who made it up, or whatever, but there's no evidence whatsoever, of course, that any of this ever
because
happened.
The obvious conspiracy wouldn't be to make this young woman think she really never had a mother, but just conspire to another cause of death.
Yeah.
She had a heart attack.
Body's gone.
Exactly.
You never know. Much easier.
Much, much easier.
Cheaper, easier.
Because also, I mean, I know it's not a real story, but, or it probably didn't really happen. She has zero family, zero friends that she could say, hey,
I know. Well,
I was traveling with my mom, I mean, that part's silly.
No, so is the chambermaid note, the letter from the chambermaid years later. No, it's obviously just a little story, but it is a fascinating story.
I know.
So you had never heard that before?
No.
That's interesting. I absolutely remember hearing this as a child.
Really?
As a very young person. It was, I thought, oh, everybody knows that one. I must have heard it from someone in my family.
No, but, and if I had heard it as a child, the whole mother-daughter dynamic probably would have freaked me out. And then every time I went somewhere with my mom, I would have worried that she was going to disappear.
Yeah.
And people were going to lie to me.
That would have been bad. So it's good.
Yes.
Otherwise, it could have resulted in crippling anxiety around your mom.
Yes.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Well, that is a story. Just a little weird bit. I wanted to share that with you listeners. It's sometimes called The Lady Vanishes or just Lady Vanishes. Sometimes it's called The Vanishing Room, which doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
But if you ever run across it, let's say it was true. All right.
Well, thanks, Dean.
See you.
Okay, bye.